Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Welcome to everyone, especially to you dads. I mean, this is a day of celebration, and just kind of like what we went through on that video, every day is something that we partake in as being a father. And I brought her up here right now. I just happen to be holding her. But this is my first great-granddaughter. Okay. So all that to say is that it's fun being a dad. I had a great time raising my daughters, still and doing that. I have grandkids, and now, just as Abe and them were talking about, is that these gen... Oh, okay.
Say hello.
There's always generations that are coming after us. And so, just be grateful to have the pleasure and opportunity of being a dad, because it never stops. And just like little Ben over there, he likes to come up here and preach, and I got a feeling so is this one. You going to say something? So please, if you guys would all stand with me and let's pray. Father God, we just love the Father that You are to us. And Lord, as we celebrate ourselves in fatherhood, Lord, it is You that we thank that You showed us how to be a father. Lord, You send Your Son Jesus to demonstrate who You were, Lord, that we would know You as we truly wanted to be seen. And so, Lord, this day we just praise You, we love You, and we thank You for who You are. And Lord, we ask that today You would have Your way with us, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would just be here, Lord, and just guide us and show us. And Lord, thank You for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
See, it's not just the huge moments in our lives, but the small things too. The moments that we choose to be obedient in what seems to be so tiny can be so big in our life. See, because the Bible tells us that it's precept upon precept, line upon line. It's just continuing to build and build and build on top of each other. See, we keep going back to the importance of our relationship with God and the time spent, because His desire is to continue to show you more and more things, to give you more knowledge, more wisdom in the things that you're navigating in your life, the way that you're moving, the things that are happening, the blessings that He wants to pour on you. All of those things are little revelations that are unlocked in our lives on a regular basis. See, it's the cool thing, right, about the Bible. It be just coming in alive in our lives because of the Holy Spirit moving. See, the Holy Spirit really intervenes on our behalf even when it comes to our day-to-day time with God. Because as we're reading, those new things that pop out at you, it's because He's revealing something new to you. The Bible talks about unlocking the mysteries. And that's the thing, is it's showing you things that otherwise on your own, you might not see. See, there's a reason that we can get really excited about something God's doing in our lives, right? Like, whew, God's showing me this. He like totally set me on fire with this thing that's happening. You can walk up to somebody and be like, hey, so I learned this really cool thing, and go crazy. And they're looking at you like, okay, yeah, I'm happy for you. But they may not get it, right? But it's okay, because that's the thing. God's unlocking different things in our lives. That's why that relationship is so cool, because it's so personal, right? It's personal to what's happening with each and every single one of us. that we're at in our lives, the things that are happening, the things that are going on, he's speaking to us to build us up for what's happening with us in our life. It's extremely personal. It's not this blanket, I'm just gonna give it all like at once and everybody's gotta know it. No, he's working with us one-on-one. Every single thing that we're dealing with, that we're going through, he's there to walk through it with us. The seeking is what we need, though. He says, seek and you shall find. See, that's the thing. It's not seek and maybe I'll be there. I'll show up. No, it says seek and you shall find. See, it's a promise for you that when you come after me, I'm here and I'm ready to give it. He's ready to give it to you. He's ready to love on you. He's ready to show you things that he has for you. He's ready to help break things that maybe you're needing to let go of. I don't know, since we started service, my mind, and now that I'm speaking, I know God's telling us, don't let past thing taint what's coming for you. See, that's the thing. Sometimes, can I tell you, it's like going 100 miles per hour. Can I tell you that when you say, I forgive that person, but I will never talk to them again, can I tell you that's not forgiveness? See, forgiveness, it's a release. It's letting it go. It's putting it in the past. Just like when we're forgiven, right? We're told, it says that it's thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. Right? Gosh, I don't know who this is for, but I can really feel it. Not forgiving isn't hurting anybody else but you. When you don't forgive somebody, it's not hurting them. They're still going on with their life. They're still doing their thing, and they're still living. You holding on to something that made you upset isn't hurting them. It's only hurting you. It's why God wants you to let go of things and let go of them fully. Not just a little bit, and don't just say you forgive it. Let it go. And if you're having trouble letting it go, go to God and he'll help you let it go. But don't let something in the past taint what you're moving towards. See, there's things that happen in our life, and when we hold on to them and we hold on to them tight. And this isn't just, I'm not just talking about unforgiveness, but maybe even something sentimental, something that hurt us, something that we feel like if we let it go, then it's... something that if you feel like if you're letting it go, you're letting go something that you don't want to. He's telling you, press forward towards the prize. Don't be looking back. Move forward in what God's got for you. See, don't let little things taint the water that you are. God is purifying, and he is moving you forward, and he is flowing, and he is giving you things. So move forward and flow with him, but don't hold on to the things that are behind you, and don't let it make you stuck. These are the things God's telling us. I got more than what you think you got right now. I got more for you than what you're holding on to or what you think is good. I've got so much more.
I trusted God. It reminds me of the story when the disciples were going across the sea. And the storm came up and they were rowing, and rowing and rowing and not getting anywhere. But when you're in the middle of the storm, Jesus shows up. And the disciples saw Jesus. And Peter decided, well, you know, if I could do it, if he can do it, I can do it. All I have to do is ask. Ask and you shall receive, right? So Peter asks and he goes out there in the middle of the storm. And suddenly he was very close to Jesus and he lost sight of the Lord. And he started sinking. But the Bible says the Lord reached out and picked him up. So he was like right there. When we're going through the middle of the storm, we need to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. It's not the storm that we should worry about, because he does all the worrying for us. He's taking us through something and he wants to walk there. He's walking with us while we're in the storm. And he wants us to focus on him and not the storm. And then the Bible says, he says, be still, and the storm just stopped. And it says, and they went to the other side. It doesn't say they rowed or sailed to the other side. I think they were just delivered to the other side. And that's what the Lord will do for us in the middle of a storm. Thank you.
Along with what Becca was saying about forgiveness, forgive people. Well, 8 years ago, my son got mad at me. He hadn't talked to me in 8 years. I fell down and hurt myself and stitches and blood everywhere. Put it on Facebook, my son said, Dad, are you all right? And I'm saying, Dad, you haven't called me that in 8 years. And I told Pastor Henry about it. He said, well, just keep trying and keep trying. So every day I would message him. And I hear nothing, and I hear nothing, and I hear nothing. Then this morning, they go to me, Happy Father's Day. And I'm going, what? What I want to know from Becca is, I never had to forgive him, because I didn't have anything wrong with him. It was him that needed to forgive me. How do I get my son to forgive me? That's what I've been trying. So anyway, I kind of got my son back.
I just want to come up here and say Happy Father's Day to my dad. I want to honor my father. Yesterday, my sister came from Chicago, and she had a gathering for us. And if any of you guys know, our family went through such a tornado of addiction and breakup. And yesterday, the picture of unity that happened with our family. And my dad never gave up on us three fighting sisters. And he loved us through it. And he never took sides. And he just loved us no matter what. And today I am so grateful for you, Dad. And I just have so much thanks in my heart for the Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Dad, for loving us sisters through it all. He loved us. And we're here today because of it. I just want to say thank you.
Okay. If my granddaughter can come up here and speak. She's so bold. I'm going to do it too. I want to thank my Heavenly Father. It's Father's Day. And my scripture when I got saved was, I love the Lord my God with all my soul, with all my heart, with all my mind. And Becca was talking about wisdom and knowledge. Colossians is my favorite book. And I wanted to read this scripture that you might,
was
since the day I've heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you that and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. It is through our Heavenly Father that we have all that we need, for he gives us everything that pertaineth to life and godliness. That's Henry's scripture. So praise the God for his love. He is love.
Who was that wild woman? Yeah, come on, man. I kind of like her. Glory to God. You know, I love this song, man. I could do this song all day. I don't know if I could play it on the bass all day. My fingers are hurting. But I will tell you that it just reminds me of, remember when David went into the cave hiding from Saul? I wanted to say Saul. I don't know. I was talking to a guy yesterday at a wedding. His name was Raul. And he kept saying, roll the R's, bro. Roll the R's. Raul. So right now when I said Saul, I tell you Saul. But anyway, I picture David in the cave. Saul's men are all outside. David's got a few men, but Saul's got a lot of men. And they're all of Saul's guys are outside of the cave. And David's guys are telling him, kill him. Kill him. He's right there. God has delivered him into your hand, David. Kill the man. And instead of killing him, he cut his robe a little bit. And then when Saul got up to go out, David followed him out. And he bowed his face to the ground. He didn't watch his enemy. Is that right? He said, I trust the Lord. I called upon the Lord and he answered me. And I trust him. How many of you trust the Lord? How many of you know that God's on your side? Do you know that he's always with you? He's never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. Do you know it? Are you positive? Are you convinced that he's with me all the time? He'll never leave me. Are you convinced? Because I'm going to tell you, my God is not a liar. What he's told you, that promise he's told you, bro, he's going to keep. Is that right, Randy? Is that right? He will keep his promises. Sometimes we don't keep our promises. But God will keep his promises. Can you say amen to that? When he tells you that he has healed you, by his stripes you've been healed. He actually sent his word. Is that right? And the word became flesh, dwelt among us. He sent his word and he healed you. He doesn't lie. He cannot lie. He cannot go against his own word. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day, Father. Happy Father's Day. Thank you for being our Father, Father. Thank you for sending your Son and your Holy Spirit, Lord, to save us and to lead us and to guide us and to strengthen us and to teach us and to, Father God, make us understand what it is you have for us, Father. We thank you for it, Father, this morning. God, we celebrate Father's Day every day, but today is Father's Day. Well, we're just going to celebrate Father's Day just a little bit longer this morning and worship you, Father. You're worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy, hallelujah, to be bowed down before and to worship you, Lord, and to place our faces to the floor and say, God, we love you. We wash you. We want you to know that, God, Lord, we trust you. We trust in you. That's why we trust you, Lord, because you have done things we've never seen before, and you're going to do things, Father. in our lives, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, this morning that you're building a body in the earth, Lord. One that, hallelujah, that is about to be displayed. One that is about to be seen. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. Have your way. Have your way, Father. Creator of heaven and earth. Maker of heaven and earth. Creator of all mankind. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, God, in the earth today. Seasoning the earth, God. Seasoning. Placing the seasoning in the earth for your imminent return, Lord. Hallelujah. The visible of the invisible. Where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to your glory. That all the earth might know the glory and the beauty of the Lord. That all the earth may see the glory and the beauty of the Lord. God, we thank you for it this morning. We worship you, Father. Happy Father's Day, God. May you be pleased in your sons and your daughters. Lord, may you be pleased, Lord, that those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and the daughters of God. Thank you. We thank you for it, Father, this morning. We worship you. We worship you. There's none like you, Father. None can touch a heart. None can change a heart like you. Spirit of God, we thank you. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. If you love God, give him a great hand. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Oh, boy. Praise God. How many of you know that we are in a covenant with God? Do you know that? How many of you know that? Do you know that God has shed his blood in this covenant? Do you know that? When his son died on the cross, that was a covenant made to those that will believe, to anyone that would believe. Can you say amen to that? Glory to God. How many of you are glad that God called your name and pulled you into the kingdom? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that this kingdom, this kingdom, is the one that Daniel saw? It's the one that Jesus talked about. In my Father's kingdom. This kingdom that you, that every one of us, all of us are in. This kingdom, hallelujah, is about to overwhelm the earth. Can you say amen to that? You know, there's a lot of people that give some negative reports because they report in the natural what they see. Can you say amen to that? Remember the prophet where he said, God, I'm the last one. Remember that? He said, man, he said, go ahead and kill me, God, because I'm the last one. And God says, no, wait, come on, man. I have reserved a great multitude. Can you say amen to that? It's not, folks, I will say we cannot go by what we see. We cannot go by the statistics that even the church puts out. Can you say amen to that? I heard some statistics that the church was putting out the other day, and I said, you know what? I don't believe that. I don't believe these statistics because, you know what? We go by what we see. And God says, never go by what you see. The just shall live by faith. He says, who is as blind as my servant, is what he says. Can you say amen? Who is as deaf as my servant? Why would he say that? Because our eyes are focused and our ears are focused on the kingdom and not on the earth. Can you say amen to that? We got to quit looking at what's going on around us and say, oh my God, look what's going on. Hey, you know what? Stop. If you're concerned, take it in your prayer closet. Say, Lord, I'm concerned about it. Pray in the spirit a while and you watch what God will do. He'll remove that. He'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. He says, don't you worry about it. I am seasoning the earth for my return, my child. Do you not understand? Do you not understand that I am bringing this world into the conclusion that I have designed for it so that my name would be lifted up? Ooh, Hallelujah. And all the earth will know the Creator, the only God. There ain't no other God. Hallelujah. That guy with a pointed tail and the horns, he ain't no God. He is not the God of this world. Yeah. For the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them, lest they should believe the glorious gospel of the truth. That is, you're not going to like this, but you must say you've heard it before. That is self. It is self that blinds the eyes. And we folks, I'm going to tell you what, we need to realize when we're looking at things, we got to say, you know what, God, I don't care what it looks like. You have a way of showing and revealing the things that are pertinent to me. I talked a little bit last week about a hydrocyclone, about pulling out the things that are pertinent to you, the things that you need. The Holy Ghost will do that for you. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, what he will do is he'll prepare your spirit. He'll alert your spirit to know the things that are coming towards you. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Folks, how many of you know we need to know the things that are coming towards us? We need to know. We need to understand that God is calling the body of Christ to be the body of Christ. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, hallelujah. No matter where you go, you've got purpose wherever you're at. If you're going to buy a head of cabbage, you got purpose going to buy a head of cabbage. Can you say amen to that? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Is that right? Is that what his word says? Do we believe it? I crashed my truck. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Hey, I was trying. There was a young man that was in my youth group, and he just didn't understand where the Bible says. It was talking about where the eagles are, that's where we'll be caught up together. You guys remember that? I'm not sure exactly where it's at, so I didn't plan on saying this. But he was having a hard time. He goes, well, where the carcass is, that's what the word is, where the carcass is, there will the birds be gathered together, the eagles be gathered together. And I was trying to, I said, bro, it's not about where the carcass is. And he goes, I don't get it. That's death. The carcass is death. And I was trying to explain to him. I said, well, God, I got to get it. Give me a better way to explain to this young man what you might be saying. And as I was driving home, I hit a deer. Oh, boy. How many of you know that all things work together for good to those that love God? Is it true? Is that what the Word of God says? Is that right? All things work together for good. So I hit this deer. I'm a little upset. Broke my headlight, tore up the front bumper a little bit on my Toyota truck. And I'm looking at this like, oh, man, God, what's going on? And I looked over and I saw the deer up against the fence. And I am not the kind of guy that would just go ahead and do roadkill and get the, hey, let's have some chorizo out of this guy. You know, I just said, man, whatever. I'm going home. I was upset, hit my truck. Got up in the morning, we were heading to church. It was a Saturday night. Got up in the morning, we were headed to church, and when we got over there, the buzzards they had plucked that thing. It was, the bones are showing already. And it was incredible. But there was hundreds of these birds way up in the sky. And I went, when we got to church, you could actually see where they were at from Green Valley here. You could see where those, it looked kind of like a little gray cloud there. The young man was coming through the parking lot, and I said, bro, look over there, man. See that? See those birds? They're in the air, and they're circling over that thing. That's it. See, the Word of God says when he calls us up in the air, that's where we're meeting. We're not meeting on the carcass. We're meeting in the air, bro. And he goes, oh, I got it now. Yeah, you got it, but I had to get my truck dented to get it to you. Is that all right? I said, oh, boy. It took my truck through some tough, man. But yeah, but know this. All things work together for good to those that love God. Amen? That's what he says. I don't know. But I'm sure that there are reasons why everything's happening right now in your life. You can ask God. You can go to him and you say, Lord, why are these things happening? And you know what's going to happen a lot of times? You ain't going to know.
Sometimes he just won't say. But he does say some certain things. He does say, hey, trust me. The Lord says to trust him. I don't know who's out here today. I don't know why I'm saying this thing, but God is saying to you that you need to just trust him. Don't try to make any decisions. Just trust him. Just allow him to take you step by step. Can you say amen to that? Step by step, step by step, step by step, step by step, step by step. I've got a knee joint that pops out every once in a while. How many of you ever had a sock? Oh my. And it is not fun. And it happened at work, and I learned that if it popped out, I just wow, and it put it back in. But man, it's hard to get that wow. It's hard to do that, to get it to go back in. But I was supposed to do a men's breakfast. I was asked by some men to do a breakfast in the morning and speak to them. And Rosie and I were watching the news. And for whatever reason, I decided to sit down in front of her. She's sitting on the couch, and I just sat down and just relaxed, sitting right in front of her. And then when I went to get up, it popped out. And instead of straightening out and popping it forward, I sat on the couch. Big mistake. Because when I sat on the couch, I said, wait a minute, so hold on a minute. And so I hesitated instead of just getting it done right away. Well, then I couldn't do anything. As soon as I went to move, my daughter come home. She had a friend that was kind of he was a trainer, I guess. What was it? Athletic trainer kind of guy. And he comes in and he looks. I said, hey, man, I told him, bro, just pull on my leg. And he looks at me, he goes, no, sir. I said, hey, just pull it. It'll pop. He goes, no, man, I'm not pulling your leg. I said, no. He says, the best thing to do is call the ambulance. Let them come in and get you. And that way you don't have to go to sit in the emergency room. They'll just take you right in, and then they'll see you right away. Ah, boy. I had to be at a breakfast the next morning. So they hauled me. We called the ambulance. They took me. Took me all the way in there, man. And while we're sitting in, can I tell you, the steps of a good man are order of the Lord. I'm not saying I'm a good man, but Jesus dwells in me, so that makes me a good man. Can you say amen? There ain't none good but one. And that's him. So he's ordered my steps, and I'm going, oh my, yeah, what am I doing, God? The news comes out right here most of the time around 10:30. How do you know that? No, anybody? Yeah, okay. Well, so it had to be 11:15 by the time 12 o'clock by the time that ambulance picked me up, took me into the hospital. They go in there and they're looking at me, and I said, just pull on my leg. Nope, we got to get some x-rays. We can pinch a nerve in there. We can pinch a vein in there. We don't know what's in that socket area. Oh, God, come on. And while we're there, Rosie and I could hear this young girl just crying and crying and crying. And so they had taken an x-ray of my leg, and now I'm waiting for a doctor to come and look at the x-ray so they can pull on my leg. Anyway, so I'm laying there, and I told Rosie, go, hey, babe, go see what's wrong with that, babe. So she come back, she goes, well, the mom says that she hasn't eaten and hasn't slept for about 4 days. And they don't know what's going on with her. She just cries and cries and cries. And I don't know what was wrong. So we went back and we prayed for that little girl. And we went back to the bed, and I'm laying there. And the nurse comes in, and she's got this brace, and she says, "Mr. Ayala, we're gonna put your leg in a brace." I said, "Okay, all right, whatever. Just pull it." "No, I'm not going to pull it. Just pull on it." "Yeah, no, I'm not going to pull on it." So we're putting on this brace. It's got this nice brace. They're putting it on. And as she strapped it on the bottom, it was fine. But then she strapped it on top. And when she pulled on the strap, guess what happened? Bloop.
went right back in. I said, hey, you girl, you got it. She goes, huh? Well, you got it. I go, watch, take that off. She goes, no. And I said, I took it off. I got up and I go, yeah, see, you fixed it. I told you, I just needed you to pull it. She goes, well, I'm glad. I said, well, here's your thing. She goes, no, you can take it. My brace. I got me a free brace that night. Go to the hospital, pick up a freebie. Amen. Right, but we were getting ready to leave, and the lady come out that we had prayed for, that little girl. And this lady comes out, and she says, she's speaking in Spanish, babe. And and the baby had fallen asleep and was resting, and we don't know what was going on with that little girl, but I know it was that little girl's fault we were there. Yeah, it was that little girl's fault that my leg got out of joint. It was her fault, not mine. Oh, man. No, it was God. See, your steps are ordered by the Lord. He could have called any of you guys. Where were you? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm wondering. Where were you? Somebody living right next to the hospital, man. No, I'm just kidding, man. But you see that he orders our steps. Why am I in this hospital? Pastor John went into the hospital because he was having, what was it, Pastor? Come on, tell him. Here, you can use this. Can we let Pastor John tell you a story? Come on, man.
Anyway, my story, kind of in the same lines as Pastor Henry, but I had just had some weird stuff going on with my heart, and something that just kind of, once you tell a doctor that there's something possibly wrong in your heart, boy, have they got you. And so that was really what took place, is we got to take tests, we got to do this. So anyway, by the time I went to take my test, I wasn't feeling anything, but he had already scheduled me. And so I said, well, okay, let's do it. And so I wound up taking the test. And, you know, after I had taken the test, he says, you know, we don't find anything. That I said, I kind of figured that. I said, you know. But on my way out of being with the doctor and so forth, on my way out, there was a lady in a wheelchair with somebody that was, you know, trying to help her out. And same thing, crying. This lady's just crying. And I'm actually just passed by. It's like, oh, no. I passed by this lady and I stopped. It's like, nah. So I went back. You know, I just stepped a few steps. I went back and I said, you know, I started talking to her. And, you know, of course, she told me what her story was. And I prayed with her, you know, which is something she didn't expect. But when I finally stopped praying, all that was going on within her, you know, all these things. She says, I've been going through all these sicknesses. And says, she felt at a place that she felt God had taken care of her issue.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, all that's like Pastor Henry's saying, you know, why was I there? You know, so maybe I had a little heartburn or something, you know. I haven't had a problem since, yeah, you know. On. And yet, now I have all kinds of documents that say I'm in great shape, you know.
Yeah, come on, man.
But I went through that, and it's kind of like Pastor says, you know, that lady needed some attention. And somehow or other, it's too bad that we have to go through pulling my leg or whatever it is that God gets us there. But just go with the flow, because there might be somebody waiting just for you because God sent you there. And it doesn't always have to be about you.
Amen.
Just walk in that. So same kind of deal.
Thank you, Pastor. Yeah, come on, man. Hey, believe. Our steps are ordered. They're ordered. God orders our steps. And so no matter where you're at, whatever you're doing, it doesn't matter. If something looks contrary to what you would prefer, all things work together for good to those that love God. I went to the men's meeting the next morning, which was just a couple hours away. I didn't get much sleep. I got in there, I told those guys, I say, man, let me just say this to you. And I used this
But I had that brace in my hand. And I said, "Now look what I got. I got a free brace. Anybody want it? Any of you guys need one of these? Because I don't need this thing for sure." Amen. And I preached to him and talked to him about how the God orders our steps. And we, if we would be obedient, if we would just say, "Lord, I'm here. I'm in a hospital. Why am I here?" Every time I've gone into the hospital, I've been in the hospital a few times. You guys probably said you need a mental hospital as well. You need to be, yeah. No, but not real. But I have been in a hospital a few times, and every time God has used me to speak to somebody, to do something that God, that he wants. Can I tell you, I'm thinking that the body of Christ is going to begin to clear out hospitals. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You walk into the room and somebody say, you're praying for a friend or somebody, and somebody across the hallway says, "Hey man, can you pray for me?" Oh, you bet. And can you picture a chain reaction happening in a hospital? Just through the power of the Lord working through even just one individual. Can you imagine that? Oh, God can do a lot more than that, you guys. Can you really can? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this covenant. I better get going because Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Thank you, Lord. Happy Father's Day, Father. Lead us and guide us, Lord. Cause us to be what you desire us to be, Father. It says here, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant." How many know we're in a new covenant? We're not that. We don't have that old one. We're in a new one. It says, "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand." Is that right? To bring them out of the land of Egypt. Can you imagine God saying, "Come on, guys, let's go. Come on, let's go." He's got Moses' hand. He's dragging it. Come on, let's go. Took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. Is that right? Although I was a husband to them. Can you say amen? A husband. That's close. That's intimate. Can you say amen? Although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. But this covenant. Everybody say this covenant.
Yes.
This covenant shall. But this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will what? I will put my law in their inward parts. Can you say amen? Is the law good? It's absolutely good. Yeah. I've had people say, "Well, that was part of the law, and we're not under the law." We're not under the law, but Jesus fulfilled the law. So if Christ is in you, the law's been fulfilled. Can you say amen to that? Simple, simple idea, simple thoughts, is that right? But it's a lot more than what we understand, what we think. Been talking to somebody, "You are not a sinner." How many had somebody say, "I'm just a sinner"? How many everybody said that? "Well, nobody's perfect. I'm just a sinner. Well, you know, hey, you know what? I'm human, so I make mistakes." You know, I said, if you believed God, you wouldn't make those. You wouldn't be able to make those mistakes because you would allow Him to make the decisions for you if you believed God. Can you say amen? Because I'm going to tell you something. The church has been dancing around this for quite a while. We need to understand who we are in the body of Christ. We need to understand what God is saying to us concerning who we are. You have the ability to stand before God Almighty. Can you say amen to that? Because He's purchased you by the blood of His Son. Can you say amen? Can I just say to you, every time you can see in the scripture, whenever Peter or somebody, the Apostle John, whenever the Lord showed up on the scene and they saw Him, Joshua saw Him, the immediate response, boom, on the ground. Can you say amen? God is more than what we can even imagine. He's more than what you can conjure up in your mind. So watching a video with my nephew, and we're watching this video, and they show the largest star that we can tell how big it is. I can't remember all the numbers. But it is called Canis Majoris is the name of the star. Anybody ever heard of Canis Majoris? Anybody? No? It's, and like I like the way the brother Giglio, you know, Louis Giglio, he says, it's a beautiful name, man, because it means the big dog star, Canis Majoris. But it's super big. When you put the earth next to it, you can't even see the earth. That's how big this star is. And the Bible says in Psalms that God breathes out stars. Can you say amen to that? Does that give you a little picture of just how big we are? We ain't very big, folks. Sometimes we think we're big, amen? Sometimes we think we know it all. Sometimes we say, whatever, man. God said, oh, look at that. Can you see that? Oh, look at that. Look at how cute he is. Can you say, man? I said, yeah, he's in the body of Christ, but look how cute he is. He ain't got nothing. Amen? Come on, man. Praise God. He says, I'm going to put my law in their inward parts, and I'm going to write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be what? Is that right?
Amen.
Is that right? How many are promise grabbers? That's a promise right there. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Say, God, I'm your people. I'm that kind of people. Is that right? I might look crazy on the outside when I'm walking through Safeway speaking in tongues. I might look crazy, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm that kind of people. I'm his people. I belong to him. He purchased me. He purchased me. He bought me. I haven't got nothing on. I haven't gotten my own desires to go which way I want to go. He bought me. His will is my delight. Isn't that what Jesus says? My delight is to do the will of my Father. He's going to a cross. And he says, my delight is to do the will of my Father. Going to a cross, Jesus. My delight is to do the will of my Father. But Jesus, you're going to be whipped. You're going to be torn up. My delight is to do the will of my Father. You see, it's the whole thing. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord because of the joy set before him.
Amen.
The joy. That's a rough cross.
Yeah.
The joy put before him. He endured that cross. And 3 days later, come on, can you say, oh man, can you imagine the joy that flooded the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Ooh, look at this. It's done. Like Jesus said on the cross, it's done, it's done, it's done. They have been bought, and now let's see how it goes. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, I don't know if you get anything out of this. You know what? It might be because I'm tired. I'm enjoying this morning. I'm sensing this thing up. I don't know if they call it effervescent. Is that the word? I'm sensing something. I did 2 weddings yesterday. Can you say amen? Everybody say yeah. 2 weddings yesterday. And there was supposed to be a sunset wedding. And the bride showed up. It was dark already. She was an hour late. I was telling her, her fiance, I said, dude, she's not coming. 15 minutes after that, I said, she's not coming. And he looks at me and he walks away. And a little while later, half an hour late, I said, hey, dude, he's not coming. She's not coming, bro. He just looked at me. Quarter till, I said, I better shut my mouth. Maybe she's not coming. Hey, but an hour late, she came. But I was watching him. He was excited. He was in the house. They told him, Luis, she's here. I thought he was going to, whoo, I thought he was going to hit the roof. She's here? Yeah. All right. And it's like he didn't know which way to go. I said, come on, bro. You go with me. Let's go out here, man. Let's go out there and wait. That excitement of his bride, he's here now. There's a joy in that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And for the joy that God what God, what Jesus did, that joy, that same joy should be in every one of us. Can you say amen? Do you know why? Why is that? Why should that joy be in you? Because He's in you. He dwells in you. Come on, man. For the joy of the Lord. How many say the joy of the Lord is my strength? Yeah, come on. That's what it is, man. I'll put my law in their inward parts, write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. And they shall, I like this, they will, they shall teach no more. Everybody say no more.
No more.
Say never again.
Never again.
Every man his neighbor. You see that? Because now they've got a teacher. Yep. This is the new covenant, folks. We're talking about a teacher in the new covenant. He says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, says this, for they will all know me. Can you say amen to that? That is a promise. You know him better than you think you do. Can you say amen to that? You know things better than you think you know things. Can you say amen? Because it's him dwelling in you. He's your teacher. Henry's not your teacher. I don't know. Joseph Prince, great teacher, preacher, pastor. Not your teacher. Nothing compares to the Holy Ghost. No one compare to the way he teaches. And you know what I love about the way he teaches? He knows everything about you. He knows how you feel when somebody says something. He knows what you go through when you're hurting. He knows you like no other man on this earth. Can you say amen? That's why you say, hey, that's why he says, I'm making a covenant with them. I will teach them. Amen? Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 says this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. Thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, truthfully, truthfully, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Here's Jesus' answer. He says, verily, verily, again, truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, he says, that I say to you, you must be born again. You see, to get in this kingdom, you have to be born of water, just like we all have been. How many have not been born of water here today? Yeah. How'd you get here? Under a rock? Eggs? No, whatever. No, no, no. No, no. Linda, stop. You know, I'm just kidding. We're all here born of water. But he says to get into this kingdom, you have to be born again by the Spirit. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
How many are born by the Spirit? How many of the Spirit of God came to you and said one day, hey, you know what? You need a Savior. You want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And you say, oh, yeah. How many say amen? Yeah. How many did that? Anybody without their hand in the air, come see my office. I don't see any hands, so I'll get in my office right now. Okay, no, no, I'm just kidding. You must. I like that word must. Is that right? It's got this certain flavor. Must. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Is that right? This kingdom is a kingdom of born again believers. Is that right? By the Spirit. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, born again, he is a what kind of creature? Okay, we got a new covenant for a new creature. Can you say amen to that? New covenant for a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How many things become new?
All
things. What does that do with the old things? Dale un pata, right? So Jesus, is that right? Say that? Did I say it right, Mimo? Hey, kick it to the curb. Is that right? Anything that's old, kick it out. Kick it out. Whatever is old, kick it out. Can you say amen to that? Anything that's of the old man, old nature, kick it out. Get it out. Anything that senses that you sense contrary to the kingdom of God or contrary to God, to the Spirit Himself, and He will point them out. Can you say amen? So, but we got a habit of when He points it out, we go, oh, it's not that bad. Can you say, I'm only human. You know what? Hey, nobody's perfect. Oh boy, don't give God that answer. Is that? Can you say amen to that? Because all you're doing is building an excuse for yourself to continue to do what you're doing. And when God is trying to get you to quit, oh, you need to quit. Can you say amen to that? That's why I never preach. You know, you can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't do all that stuff. I don't never preach that because I believe that's the Holy Ghost job. A lot of people have told me, well, you know, you really need to be preaching. I said, no, no. If a man is born again, the Holy Spirit will talk to them about those things. You see, you don't need a teacher anymore. Can you say amen? He is there to teach you, to lead you, and to guide you into all these truths. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, hallelujah. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Everything becomes new. Can I just say this to you? The faith that got you into the kingdom is not there anymore. Can you say amen? What? Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? Yeah, because everything has to be new. Doesn't the word of God say the peace of God that passes all understanding shall overtake you and overwhelm you? See, it's not your old peace anymore that you used to get. It's His peace that comes into you, brand new. The word of God in Romans chapter 5, it says the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. See, it's not your love anymore. It's His love. This is why God can say to you, you need to forgive. Because you're born again. And that forgiveness brings the love of God to whoever or whatever it is that you're not forgiving. Can you say amen? It is a fact of the kingdom that you are brand new. Brand new. It's like God says, okay, he's born again. He grabs a sheet of paper that you had, says, of ordinances that were against you, tosses them away, never looks at them again. You're brand new. Brand new. Doesn't it say the joy of the Lord is my strength? Not your joy anymore. Not your joy. And I made that statement that it took faith to get to God. Is that right? The Bible says that God gives every man a measure of faith. Why does He give you just a measure of faith? To get to Him, to believe Him, to accept Him. And now that measure of faith, being that you're born again, it turns into something else. So it's a glorious thing here. I want you to look at this. It's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I'm crucified with Christ. How many of you have been crucified with Christ? How many of you understand what the Bible is saying when it says, you died? Can you say? You died. Look at your neighbor and say, you died. Look at the one on the other side, you died. Look at the one behind you, say, you died too. Look at the one in front of you, say, you died too. And guess what? Being that we're all dead, you know what's cool? We don't stink, amen? We're all dead. No, we're born again. We died, and then we've been born again. Can you say amen to that? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it's not I that lives, but Christ lives in me. Somebody said to me, because I told him, hey, you're a good man. And he goes, yeah, there's only one that's good. He tried to use Jesus' answer on me. I said, yeah, if he dwells in you, he makes you a good man. Is that right? It says, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live, listen, look at this really close. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by what? By what? And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's His faith, not your faith. It's not that old stuff that you use to get into the kingdom. He got rid of that. Old things are passed away. All things become brand new. And now you're operating on His faith. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a big deal. Woo-hoo-hoo. That's a big deal, folks. You're in His faith now. The faith that's operating you is his faith. So there should be never a doubt of who you are. Never a doubt, never an excuse to say, well, I'm nobody perfect. I'm just nobody's perfect. Never a doubt. Never, ever, ever. Because you're operating by his faith now, not your own. You died. Está muerto. Right, John? Yes. Dead. 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 Look at your neighbor and say, dead. But born again. But alive. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So now that you're born again, you're brand new. You got, can I tell you, you become a baby in Christ. Can you say amen to that? And now, so now things have to happen. I mean, you got to, well, I'm still operating the way. I'm still walking around like I did. I didn't have to relearn how to walk like a baby. Is that right? But you still got, you got some stuff to go on. So, the Bible says, so Paul says that in Romans 12, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, what? A living sacrifice. A sacrifice that's alive. Because how many of you know, and you know, how many of you know your flesh wants to get up? How many tell yourself, you're dead, bro? How many actually tell yourself, you know what, hey, you're dead? When you see that Corvette going down the road, you're dead, bro. God wants to give it to you, he'll give it to you. See that young man, that handsome young man, or that beautiful young lady, you're dead, bro. You're dead, me, huh? Dead. But you're alive in Christ. His desires become your desires. His desire to please the Father becomes your desire to please the Father. If your desire is to please yourself, you ain't dead yet. Amen? You got to look at that. You got to understand that. Because God is building a body of believers that the body begins to take their place in the body. Every portion working together to see that what God has for you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Okay. Living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You read the Word of God. We've been talking about this, about your Bible you got in your lap. How many have your Bibles? Come on, man. That's just mean, huh, for the pastor to say, show me your Bibles. Yeah. All you people got your Bibles, you're all saved. The rest of you, I don't know what's going on with you. No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah, might. But listen, the Word of God is the most important thing in renewing your mind. Can you say amen to that? It will transform your mind. The Bible says it's like water that comes and flows in, and it washes, and it cleanses, and it does a work that you can't do. It's Him doing it. Can you say amen to that? The Holy Spirit knows how to pinpoint your faults. Can you say amen? He knows how to turn bitter water that comes out of you into sweet water. Can you say amen to that? How many of you have been around people that seem like they're drinking bitter water these days? I go, man, you're a little mean today, man. You know, hey, but the Holy Spirit knows how to deal with those things. Can you say amen to that? And quit trying to fix your brother. Quit trying to fix your sister. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Can you say amen to that? Come on, man. We got to let God do what He's good at. Can you say amen? God is good at transforming His people. Can you say amen to that? Just yield to it. Say, God, I'm going to lay back and let you do what you need to do. Amen? Tell me where to go. Tell me what to say. Tell me what to do. Other than that, it's all up to you. I just made that up. You like that? He's a poet. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Romans 8:6 says this. Better get down. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. You see the difference? Carnally minded, selfly, self, run by self. What's the word? Death. But what is when the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and just kind of leading you, and you're, it's life and more abundant life. How many of you are ready for a more abundant life? get ready, because if you're ready for it, guess what? It's coming. Come on now. Be ready. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. So how do you get spiritually minded? Romans 6, verses 3 through 13. This is a long one, so hang in here, okay? I got 6 minutes left, you guys. Come on. Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death. See, some of you, I wonder, how many of you just actually knew that when you went under the water, God is saying, you're dead. And when Pastor John, Pastor Henry bring you back up, he says, now I'm going to do something with you. You see, you're dead. You're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Let me explain this just a little bit. You see, when being born again and you're reading the Word of God and God begins to reveal things to you, what he's doing is resurrecting you. He is transforming your mind with what you're reading. Can I tell you, when God gives you a revelation of something, you'll never forget it. You will never forget it because it's a revelation. Come on. What he's doing is he's bringing you into this kingdom with a fresh revelation of what he has for you and where he's taking you. Whatever it is that he shows you. Is that okay? That is the raising up out of that water of death. Can you say amen to that? All right. And so we shall also be in the likeness of, oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a little bit. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And then it says this, knowing this, know this. Look at your neighbor, say, know this. Know this. If you want to know anything today, know this today. Knowing this, that our old man, old Henry Ayala. I better not say what I was going to say. It said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin, can you say that? The body of sin might be destroyed. You see, God's in the business. Listen to this. God's in the business of destroying sin. That's his business. Sometimes we think it's our business, but it's not. It's none of our business. It's his business, destroying sin. So let me just say this to you. If you're doing something that's incorrect, hey, repent. Tell God, God, I'm sorry. Because what it will bring is the manifestation of the sin. Because I believe that God has washed your sins away. All of them. They're all gone. When you hear a message like this, what you're going to hear is that God says, hey, I've washed all your sins away, but if you keep continuing to do those things that you want to do, you're not dead yet. If you continue to move into places or move into areas of your life where you know it's sin, you know it's not, you know it's contrary to God, you know that God would not be pleased. You know why? Because you hope nobody can see you doing it. Can you say amen to that? Oh, come on. We're talking to you now. The Holy Ghost is getting a hold of some things. Because he sees everything. You can run, but you can't hide. You can't get away from his watchful eye. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows your thoughts. He sees your thoughts. Ooh, come on. God is in the process. God is purifying the body of Christ. Purging the body of Christ today. It's part of the seasoning. Part of the seasoning. Come on, hallelujah. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Can you say amen? He dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Can you say amen? How many of you like the fact that death has no dominion over you because you died already? You like that fact? That's a fact. That is a kingdom fact. It is something that God is putting into the earth. You need to know that you have died and is given unto man once to die, you've died. And know that it has no more dominion over you. It has no more dominion over you. It has no more dominion over you unless you give it dominion over you, like anything else. The drugs, the drinking, the whatever it is, it has no dominion over you unless you give it dominion over you. Can you say amen? I mean, this is the seasoning. This is the seasoning season that God is bringing us into. The purifying of this body that we know has called, that he calls the body of Christ. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead. Amen? Yep. Just think about yourself. Man, I'm dead. There is no way that I should be lusting after whatever this Snickers candy bar. I was in my refrigerator the other day. Rosie's got it. She's hiding a Snickers. She says, "Oh, it was yours." Yeah, I didn't know it was in there. I go, "Look at this. Is this mine?" I want this thing, man. Oh, boy. But anyway. Likewise, you reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to who? God. As those that are alive from the dead. See how many times he's telling us that we're raised up, that we died. And do you see how many times he's telling us that? He's just going. I would say Paul is going after us. He's going after us with the Holy Ghost. And you need to realize who you are. You're died, and now he's resurrecting you by the revelation of God that he places in you. That's why it's so important to read your word. That your members in his, that he says, that you are alive from the dead and your members are an instrument of righteousness to God. Can you say amen to that? All right, I better end this. I'm just gonna go right to the end. I said Galatians chapter 5:15. This, if you would, could you stand? You see, the word of God says this, that you know, I don't care. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, where you study, all those things. You know how, like I had some guys ask me if I had, they wanted to know my credentials. And I said, bro, I'm sorry, man. I don't have any credentials. All I have is a vision. And when I spoke the vision to these men, they ended up weeping. They were crying because both of them said, we just decided we wanted to be pastors. We didn't have a vision to cause us to be a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor. I would have said, man, I should have called you guys. You guys could pastor if you want to be a pastor. The fact of the matter is, he has everything you need. It's already within you. It's all there. Everything's there. Nothing matters is what this scripture is telling us. Nothing matters in this earth, but what he calls, right there, it says the new creature. Who you are, that's what matters. What matters is who you are and your response to God on a daily level. A daily level. Can I just say, it's not just because you come to church on Sunday, but it's a daily level you have a response to God. God wants to speak things to you. The Bible says his mercies are new to you every morning. Every morning. Can you say amen? Every morning he's got something new for you. Yeah, every morning he says, Paul said, I die daily. Come on, why is that? Because he's dead. And he's resurrected by the Spirit of God, by the wisdom of God, by the revelation of God. You die daily, but you respond daily to the Holy Spirit. You respond to what he's saying. It's not just a one Sunday. It's a daily thing. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. The new creature, who you are, that's what God is looking at. Can you say amen? The new creature that you are, that's where he's at. So I'm going to pray for you. Father, I just thank you this morning for all these new creatures this morning. some strange, some beautiful, some handsome, but all new creatures. Lord, I pray, Lord, that their response, not only to this, to the word given this morning, but to their response to you, Father, would be, Lord, that you build them and strengthen them, that you resurrect them daily in revelation, showing them new things, showing them the things that are hidden, that have been hidden, that even the prophets desired to look into, showing them those things, Father God, bringing those things to their eyes and to their understanding, Lord, causing them to walk with a new step, causing them to be joyful in you, Lord. We thank you for it this morning. God, if there's anybody that has not ever given their life to you in the building today, Father God, such an opportunity to know you, Father. Touch their heart this morning. Speak to them by your Spirit. Cause them not to sleep, Father, till they know who you are, Father, and how much you love them. Bless your people this morning in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. 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 Hug somebody's neck. Tell them you love them. Tell them you appreciate them. Amen. Thank you for coming to the service this morning. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.